the schools in the network, in the federation. I think another thing that was very striking about the origins of the federations was that I would say all the heads that we interviewed had very high ideals for what they hoped the federation could achieve. They wanted to make a difference. They didn't want just to make a difference to the exam results, although that was definitely part of it. And that was often the way that they sold it, sold the idea to the governors and the parents, that, that the exam results hopefully would rise. But they wanted to make a difference to the wider community as well, and they saw themselves as able to provide a focal point for the community that would really help not just the students, but their parents and the community as a whole. So there was a lot of very idealistic visions for what they hoped that the federations could provide. But one of the things that they struggled with was that there were very few models of existing federations. So they were really, in some cases, they told us they were making it up as they went along. They actually had to try things out, see if they worked. And sometimes things worked and other times things didn't. So they were following their vision, but really doing a trial and error development. And one of the things that was reported to us a lot was that the head teachers and the executive heads got strong support from being within this federation rather than being the lone head teacher, that they had the support of each other in order to face some of these challenges. So that was a perhaps unexpected finding, that they felt really supported among themselves. They were trying out different models of senior management teams, and in some cases they admitted that they just added another layer and they realised that wasn't economically sustainable, especially in the current climate, so they were going to have to rethink that. And the other thing that some of the executive head teachers reported to us was that when they started, because most of them had come from being head teachers of single schools, that they were trying to run the two or three schools in the federation themselves, almost single-handed, even though there were the individual head teachers as well. And so two or three of them reported to us that they were running themselves ragged, trying to run all these schools, and then they realised they couldn't actually operate in the same way that they'd been an individual head teacher, that they had to be much more strategic and take a step back. But that was difficult for some of them, particularly if they'd been the head teacher of one of the schools in the federation. So there were those sorts of issues that they had to deal with. Other things that they did report were having to really work with the governing bodies and the parents, particularly where there was opposition. And one thing I haven't said is that there were some interesting mixes of schools within these federations. Because of the area, there were some selective schools. So some of the federations were a mix of selective and non-selective schools, where the parents and the governors from the selective school were worried at being federated with a non-selective school because their worry was that the standards would be brought down. Now, in fact, in almost every case, what was found is that not only did the standards of the lower achieving school rise, but the higher achieving school, the standards rose as well. I think there was only one case where the higher achieving school went down a little bit, and that was because the head, the executive head, had put in place a less experienced head of the stronger school, thinking it would almost carry on as normal, and realised that that had been a mistake. But in almost every case, all the standards in the schools went up. So that was quite a positive finding in terms of results, which does seem to match findings from the one or two other studies that have been done of federations. Going back to the way that the executive heads and heads worked with their governors, they had to convince them in advance that there would be benefits for the school or for the schools, and also for the parents, because they were worried about the loss of identity. So you got, in some cases, schools where they continued to have separate uniforms for the separate schools and to have separate school identities, but they did start to share other things. So there was a lot of sharing of the curriculum, sharing of teaching across the schools, which was seen as very beneficial. Where it was a cross-phase federation, they found that the transition between the primary and secondary was being strengthened, and there was a lot more interchange between the teachers across the primary and secondary boundaries. So there were a lot of perhaps unforeseen benefits like that, where they felt that the teaching and learning had been enhanced, the curriculum, they were able to try out new ideas and new approaches. And so as well as the actual exam results going up, they noticed things and told us about things like improved staff morale and better behaviour from the pupils. Now, it's not to say it was wholly without problem. As I've indicated, there were quite a lot of very big challenges that they were facing. And I think as more federations get underway and there are successful models for people to look at, that would be very helpful. It also seemed to us that some particular in-service training was needed for the executive heads to really help them see themselves into the new role that was different from an individual head teacher role, because they had to find that out for themselves very much by trial and error. I suppose a big question is whether these kind of new models are sustainable in the new, in the current economic climate. And one of the areas that was hit while we were doing the research was the cancelling of some Building Schools for the Future projects, because several of the federations had longer term plans to bring the schools together on a single site. We don't know for certain which of the schools were affected, but it's likely that some of those school plans will at least have to have been put on hold and possibly cancelled. Therefore, their plan to forge the identity just by physical proximity may not be realisable. One or two other schools where the building had already been started, so presumably those schools were not affected. So that was one thing that's already been affected adversely by economic cuts. Just to go